One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com. Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Simply Vegan podcast from the team at Vegan Food and Living, the UK's best-selling vegan magazine. Every Tuesday, we taste test the newest vegan products, discuss the latest vegan news, and answer your questions on everything from nutrition and supplementation to recipe ideas and dealing with negative backlash. Every Thursday, we speak to some of the leading names in veganism, from doctors and scientists to vegan chefs, celebrities, and authors. Head to your platform of choice to like and subscribe and stay up to date with all the latest episodes. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker or on YouTube. And don't forget to leave us a review to help spread the word and help others on their plant-powered journey. Whether you're vegan for the animals, your health, the planet, or all of the above, it's important to protect your nutrient intakes. The Vegan Society's chewable multivitamin Veg One is a convenient way to do so. Veg One contains 7 essential nutrients, including vitamins B12, D3, and iodine, and is packaged in 100% plastic-free tin. A 6-month supply is priced at just £12.70. That's around 7 pence per day. And the best part is Vegan Food and Living Plus members get an extra 10% off. Browse the range at vegansociety.com/veg1 and support the Vegan Society today. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode. I can't believe it's mid-November already. Can you, Molly?
My sister's getting married on the first week of December, and I think it's like 3 weeks away. It's crazy.
Oh, lovely.
I know. Very, very expensive month, December, for me.
Yes. Yeah, same here. My sister is about to have a baby any day.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's my husband's birthday on the 5th of December. It's mine on the 10th of December.
That's the day my sister's getting married, the 10th of December.
Yeah. Oh, are you going to be a bridesmaid or anything?
I am a bridesmaid. I am. I'm really looking forward to it, actually. It's in Gower Hotel. Obviously in Gower. it's going to be really nice. I'm really excited.
Have they got good vegan options?
I think I'm having a nut roast.
Classic.
Do you know what? I've not even looked at the vegan menu yet. I've just been like, just tell them that I'm vegan. That's all they need to know. They won't know that I'm actually reviewing them for the podcast.
We're watching you. Yeah, December is going to be crazy. It's my son's birthday on Christmas Day as well. It's literally like,
oh my gosh.
It's crazy. And obviously we're going to be reviewing all the supermarket ranges. So I'm really excited. Did you have a good weekend?
I did have a good weekend. It was my friend's birthday. So it was really nice to see her. Last birthday obviously was a bit with COVID and everything, so it was nice to properly celebrate it this year. I went to a football match, which is really weird. I don't think I've ever been to one. Well, not a professional one.
Was it good?
No.
I went to my son's football match, and yeah, it's pretty boring, isn't it? I just clap when everyone else claps. I don't really know what's going on.
The first 10 minutes were like, yeah, this is so cool. And then I was like, oh God, I've got another 80 minutes of this.
Oh, funny. I went for a few runs. It's been so warm.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. Has it not been warm up there?
Well, to be fair, I've not really been outside other than going to this football match. And yeah, I'm refusing to go outside. But if it's quite warm, maybe I will.
It is. It's more like spring than winter.
That's scary.
It is a bit scary. Yeah, I keep sort of being like quite happy and then thinking, oh no, climate change. Better not be happy. Anyway, let's start our taste test for this week.
Let's go.
First up, we taste tested the new Sakla beetroot pizza bases, which are made from 25% vegetables. They're available in the vegan aisle at Asda and on Ocado and sakla.co.uk. And the retail price is £3.29, and there's two 150-gram pizza bases in each pack. What did you think of them?
Yeah, so I'm not really one for like making pizzas at home. I'm always like, go out because they can do it better than I can. But these ones, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought that they were going to be really dry, but it wasn't too bad. It was nice. They had a nice little recipe on the back as well. It was like a beetroot. I think it was like beetroot and caramelized onion, I think.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we all know how I am with cheese. So I put like minimal cheese on there with a bit of rocket and it was delicious.
Oh, cool. I find them really handy, these bases, because you can just, I mean, they keep in the like store cupboard staple type things, aren't they? They keep for ages. And then if you're desperate, you can just get them out and whack some like passata on top, vegan cheese and some veg. I did find them a little bit dry. Maybe I baked mine too long. I found them a bit like biscuity, like a biscuit.
That's the thing.
Texture.
You do have to be careful with them. I think I kind of was wary of, I find all pizza bases, like homemade pizza bases, they are just a bit dry. So I kind of didn't bake it for that long. So it was just a bit soft.
Okay.
But yeah, maybe it was a bit over.
Yeah, it's nice to think they're sort of packed with some extra vegetables. I didn't really notice too much of a difference with the flavour. But once you've got all the toppings on, you can't really taste the base anyway, can you? So
no, I think it's more kind of like if you wanted like a lighter base, they're definitely good for that. And also if you're doing like pizzas with kids and stuff, it's a bit more of a healthier option.
Yeah, definitely. The next thing we tested were Sust Shakes. These are really interesting. It's a new startup business that came out of lockdown. So many good things came out of lockdowns, I feel.
As terrible as it was a hub for creativity.
It was, yeah. These are, so they're kind of like meal replacements, aren't they? Which kind of made me a bit wary. I was like, oh no. It reminds me of like, what's the, like Weight Watchers.
Yeah, Weight Watchers.
Like that.
I used to have one when I was, this sounds awful, when I was younger. I used to have them and I'd have them as like for nutrients rather than like as a meal replacement. And I've not really one for drinking my meals.
No, I don't feel like it's a meal. It's just a drink. And then I end up eating a meal as well. But once I sort of read up on it and tried them, I was actually quite pleasantly surprised because so the whole thing behind this brand is that they're like 200 calorie meal shakes, but they're also packed with like protein and fiber and plant-based sources of protein, omega fats, vitamins and minerals. Plus they're really good for the planet and they've sort of got this really sort of real eco angle to them.
Yeah.
Because it's all really sustainably sourced and they're less than a pound per I mean, a meal, as they call it, but obviously it's a drink. And they do taste pretty good. There was an organic creamy sunflower one, a chocolate one, nutty hemp and chocolate. I preferred the more savoury ones, but that's probably because I haven't got a sweet tooth. Mm. But I think they're really good to replace breakfast with, because I do like to do sort of fasting sometimes in terms of like eating just a bit later. Because when I eat breakfast, when I wake up, I just find it a bit heavy. So
yeah, I always find that when I eat really early on, I'm looking for lunch earlier, and then it's just kind of like a catalyst. But yeah, I definitely agree. They're probably very good with like porridge, if you could kind of like blend in some oats or something. And personally, I tried the coconut and hemp one. Again, I think I preferred the savory ones. The sweet ones, they weren't really doing it for me. But that's just down to like my taste. I think they're a really, really cool brand though.
Yeah, really cool. And they're gluten-free as well. Yeah, worth checking them out. It's available at gosust.com. That's their website. The third thing we tested, more chocolate. There's so much chocolate coming through.
There is so much chocolate. We need these sus shakes to balance it out.
We do. I mean, I could literally fill every taste test review section all month with just chocolate. So I'm trying to sort of like balance it out a little bit. But these Divine Chocolate Orange Thins are new. They're palm oil free, made with natural ingredients and fair trade. I really like Divine because they work with the farmers quite closely to sort of create exploitation and things like that. They're £4 and available at Oxfam, Ocado and Divine online. Brilliant for Christmas. Definitely going to get some in.
They were good, weren't they? They were so a bit too good.
Yeah. But I love Divine dark chocolate because it's not too, you know, sometimes dark chocolate is just like makes you kind of wince.
So bitter.
Bit.
Yeah. They sent us some other flavors of their chocolate bars as well, and they were so lovely. I think there was like a raspberry one, which was really good. I like that.
Yeah, and there's a ginger one as well. And then
that one was good.
Raspberry and sea salt. I think the trick is with dark chocolates, you need a bit of flavor to sort of cut through the bitterness, don't you? And I think these chocolate thins are lovely. It's like having after eight mints, you know, like
I thought they were better than the after eights. I prefer orange flavored chocolate to mint chocolate. So yeah, this ticked all the boxes for me.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting some in for the festive season. Well, there was loads in the news following the end of COP26 over the weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw, but there was I've just got a quick little story to tell, actually, because I basically, after speaking to Matthew Glover last week's episode, he was talking about how they get trolled so badly on their social media because he runs VFC, which is sort of like tongue-in-cheek rival to KFC.
They troll people back, though. I love it.
This is it. He said, you know, people seem to respect us for not just deleting comments or keeping quiet. Yeah. And over the weekend, there were all these like articles, you know, when you wake up and you're scrolling through Facebook, and it's there was one on the BBC about the impact of your diet and, you know, going meat free, and there was one in the Independent as well, I think. And stupidly I thought I'll just have a quick read of the comments, and oh my god, what is wrong with people? I just couldn't believe it. It was comment after comment after comment. Like, you'd get one would be, I'll stick to steak and chips, thanks. Another would be, I'm never giving up meat, stop telling us what to eat. It was literally reams and reams of this shit. And I got so cross, and I thought, okay, how can I actually answer this, but in an intelligent way, rather than just kind of like being patronizing and just getting into an argument with these idiots.
Yeah, literally.
So I just kind of, fell down the rabbit hole and started like commenting on them. But it did stress me out a little bit, and I really don't need that on a Saturday or Sunday morning. But I did think, actually, why are us vegans all keeping quiet? Because we don't want to get involved in the argument, and we don't want to we don't want to get trolled. Actually, we've got so much knowledge, and
yeah, exactly.
And we don't have to be patronising and talk down to people. But, you know, if we can share in a constructive way the positive things that we found, or, you know, anything from meal ideas to, you know, studies that we've come across, because us vegans do have to educate ourselves, don't we? Because we
definitely
we have to stand up for ourselves.
There's also like so much, as you said, there's so much knowledge about like everything, like where your food comes from and stuff. And I think so many people are afraid of change. I'm not defending any of these people, by the way. I do not agree with anything that they said, but like people are so afraid of change, and they're just so afraid of being told that they're wrong. And yeah. I think that like addressing issues such as climate change and obviously like animal exploitation, it's easier for them to bury their head in the sand, and they don't want to. Facebook is such a nightmare for these kind of like hubs of people. I think because we sort of put ourselves in this echo chamber of like veganism and like, oh, this is a nice safe place for us all. When you go into like comments like that, you actually see the herds of people that are having these like really, really negative views. Yeah. Scary.
A lot of them were saying, plant-based food is full of palm oil and it's been shipped halfway around the world. I mean, in response to that, I said, well, palm oil's in lots and lots of products. You don't have to be plant-based to be eating these products. There could be crisps, shampoo,
biscuits, all of these things,
cakes, anything processed, which you don't have to be vegan just because it might say vegan friendly on it or whatever. Yeah. Okay, you know, vegans are going to be eating it, but so are meat eaters. And they were also saying eat local, organic, free-range meat. And I did have to reply and say that over 70% of the meat in this country, in the UK, is factory farmed. In the US, it's 99%. Oh. I mean, how fucking scary is that? I mean, it just makes me sick. So, sorry, I'm getting on my soapbox here, Molly. You weren't ready for this, were you? Like, oh my gosh.
I love it.
She's lost the plot. You know, everyone's kind of commenting saying, oh, well, I only... And I think there was a study recently saying that this percentage of people, high percentage of people, say they only eat local organic meat or whatever, but 70% of our meat comes from factory farms.
Exactly.
It just doesn't add up. And one comment I did make was that, you know, everyone says they choose this high quality local meat, but actually when you grab that ham sandwich from Tesco's in your lunch hour, that's factory farmed. When you pop into McDonald's or KFC, that's factory farmed. When you go to, you know, when you order school dinners for your kids, factory farmed. So actually you might be buying, and I sort of admitted that I used to do this. I used to buy a joint of beef on a Sunday and spend like 10 or 15 pounds on this really good quality beef. And that was me. Tick. I've done my bit for the environment. But the rest of the time, where's the meat coming from that you're buying and feeding the kids or whatever?
I know. And as you said, it comes down to not trying to like say that vegans know everything and stuff. But, you know, I've definitely trying to educate myself recently about being seasonable. Oh, gosh, why can't I speak today? We'll go again. Seasonal and local. And organic, like there's actually, it's not as straightforward as you think. And just because something says sort of like free range or whatever, like that is just a marketing sticker. Like it doesn't mean what it actually says. And there's so many like documentaries and stuff showing that, you know, these products aren't actually what they say to be, what they seem to be.
Yeah, exactly. Greenwashing. Plus, you know, the problem with meat is the farming. It's not that it's traveled from you know, miles and miles. That's not the impact. It's that actual process is when it's being farmed. Anyway, rant over. Well, another good positive news story that came out in the last week was that Oxford University research shows that vegan diets are actually cheaper. Yes. Did you write this story for the Vegan Food and Living website?
I actually didn't write this one, but it's an amazing story. And you got like the arguments that veganism is so expensive. But actually, when you, if you're focusing solely on like the processed, like ready-made stuff, of course it's going to be expensive. It's just like having a meat-based diet. If you're eating processed foods, then of course it's going to be expensive. But it's just all about knowledge and choosing the right ingredients.
I know. My mum always says she can't afford to switch to, because she's vegetarian, but she always says she can't afford it. And I think it's just a different way of cooking, isn't it? And I get, I get that people don't necessarily know how to do it, because my mum just says, well, I just don't know what to put in my sandwiches. And it's just kind of thinking in a different way. You don't have to have a cheese sandwich or a ham sandwich or a tuna sandwich. It's just, I mean, you could have a chickpea tuna sandwich, which is loads cheaper because it's made from chickpeas. But yeah, you know, all the lentils and veg, it's all so much cheaper than buying the meat and the fish. I mean, we bought some prawns at the weekend because my son's not vegan. My husband said, you know, let's get some prawns, because I was making a Chinese. I did like crispy fried aubergine and garlic tofu and mushroom fried rice. It was lovely. But he had some prawns and oh my God, they're like 5 quid.
Prawns are so expensive. I remember and you always then opt, because they're so expensive, you always opt for the sort of like lower quality in a speech mark abbreviation, whatever. And it's, you know, as you say, it's crazy how you could think that if you just spent a little bit more time and a bit more effort. I understand that it's not accessible for everyone and that, you know, people don't have time necessarily. But I think that is just down to lack of education and lack of awareness about it. And, you know, that's just down to the government as well, isn't it? Oh, we're going in today.
God, we really are. We need to take a chill pill, don't we? Do some meditation and
I'm gonna do my yoga after.
Well done. Well, the third story that came out was that the Claridge's chef, so it's a top London restaurant, isn't it, Claridge's?
In Mayfair,
darling.
It's a hotel. I did write this one.
Okay, so you know the ins and outs of it. So the chef is called Daniel Hum, and does he have his own plant-based restaurant somewhere else?
Yeah, in New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, I think it's one of the first Michelin star restaurants in New York. 11 Madison Park, I think it's called.
One of the first plant-based Michelin star restaurants.
Yes.
Nice.
In New York.
Oh, Molly, we need to go and taste test.
For the show, purely for work purposes.
Let's get onto them right away. although we can't fly because that's bad for the environment, we'd have to sort of swim or something. Or
yeah, that's we'll swim. We'll take a little boat.
Yeah, a little pedlo. sorry, digressing slightly here. What happened then? Did he get sacked or did they just disagree?
So he is all for obviously plant-based future, and he wanted to change the menu to an all vegan menu, all plant-based menu. And basically I think it was a mutual separation, which when anyone says that to me, I'm just like, you got sacked. But like, I think they made a really wrong decision. They just said that it's not the step that we're looking to take or something like that, which to me, it like, okay, I understand that maybe going like completely vegan might be a bit too radical for some people. If you've never had, I don't think there's any, well, I think there's maybe one or two dishes on the menu that is vegan, but it's a very limited vegan menu.
Yeah.
So maybe just making it like half vegan or something could have been a good compromise, but they just weren't looking to have it. They serve like foie gras and caviar and lobster and stuff.
This is it. I mean, if you're still serving foie gras in 2021, yeah, you're not going to turn to an all plant-based menu, are you? The thing is, I'm guessing they're catering to these high-end customers and yeah, they want these luxury items such as, you know, caviar and stuff. And again, it's going back to, you know, the rich nation. I think this was in the news as well. The rich nations are causing sort of these poorer nations to basically end up underwater because of our desire for these luxury foods. And it's time we all woke up. And
yeah, it's so selfish. It's so selfish.
It really is.
But he has, he's decided to leave. He's just like, I'm not going to compromise on my beliefs, which I really, really respect.
Brilliant.
And I think that he's going to create something really exciting in the near future, I think.
Yeah, good on him. Well, let's quickly go on to our question this week. We only had one question. So where are you all? We need you to email us at simplyvegan@anthem.co.uk. We want to know what you want to know. We've got the plant-based health professionals on hand to answer your questions on anything relating to health and nutrition. And Molly and I will answer everything else.
That we can.
Yeah, within reason. And we also really, really want your feedback. We've had a few people tell us that they don't like the fact we've gone twice a week. They prefer everything all in one. So how do you feel? Drop us a line, comment on social media and let us know. So the question we had this week was from Christy Dassau Reed. She said this is her first holiday season as a vegan and she's the only vegan in her family. Last Christmas, she was vegetarian, so it was a bit easier. People don't seem so offended by vegetarians, do they?
No, they don't.
She's a bit stressed out as she's going to lots of different family members' houses for dinner. Oh, it's quite a tricky one, this. I really feel your pain, Christy, because you just don't want to be having rows about veganism on Christmas Day.
No, that's just not. It's a hard one, isn't it?
That's just not fun.
No, and you don't want to sort of like compromise your, you know, festive time and Christmas and whatever and spending time with your family over something that's really important to you. But then they should be respectful of that.
Yeah, definitely.
But anyway, yeah, carry on.
I think sometimes people get on their soapbox like I did a minute ago. Don't they?
Not on Christmas Day.
No, exactly. But, you know, I think sometimes it can start as a bit of a joke and they'll be like, oh, you're vegan. Oh, God, what do you eat? Carrots and lettuce? What, you know?
Yeah.
And then it sort of goes downhill a bit when people have had a few drinks. And my advice would be to plan ahead and be super, super laid back about it. I'd contact all your family members, just like send them a message individually. And just say, look, and maybe avoid the word vegan because that seems to wind people up. Say
yeah, plant-based. It's just like a trigger word. It's a trigger word, isn't it? It's so crazy.
It is. I mean, it makes me mad, but yeah, that you can still, it's still okay to bash vegans in this way. But yeah, I'd text everyone just say, look, I've gone plant-based. You could even give them a few reasons, you know, for the planet or whatever. Really don't want to cause inconvenience or anything like that. Just let me know what I can bring and just have a few things. So, I mean, I and my family will laugh at this, but I'm the queen of dips. I always take, like, make a nice dip and take some bits along. You could do some, I mean, it depends. Yeah. Like, find out what they're serving and maybe make your own little plant-based alternative. And if you do something really impressive, like if you did like smoked carrot instead of smoked salmon with some cream cheese and maybe made it look really nice, then it kind of gets the conversation going in a positive way because people are like, oh, what have you got? Can I try it? Make sure you make some extra, you know, so that they can sample it.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe you could even convert some of them. You never know.
I know. I think that's the thing, isn't it? I think what you just need to do is you just need to embrace it. You need to not be, not necessarily ashamed, but like not ready to sort of stand your ground with it. And, you know, as you said, Holly, I think I agree that it's better to sort of show them in a positive light. So give them something like to try rather than just have like a conversation. And I think that's sort of way to people's hearts and through their stomachs, you know? To me, I agree. You got a plan. I'm already planning my Christmas menu.
Oh, I love it.
I already know what I'm having on Christmas Eve because I'm going to my sister's for Christmas Eve and then my mum's. And yeah, again, a meat family.
Right. What are you going to do then? Are you taking food with you?
Yes. I'm going to take ingredients and obviously cook it there. But actually, I got all this inspiration from the Vegan Food and Living Christmas magazine that's just come out. I've seen in there, it's like oyster mushroom scallop rolls we're going to have on Christmas Eve. I really love vegan fish, like mushroom based fish. So yeah, you're thinking maybe some scallop rolls and maybe some homemade calamari, vegan calamari, obviously. And Christmas Day, I think we are going to have a pie, although we have taste tested some new supermarket Christmas mains, so we might be swayed.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it, knowing which to go for. I would also, Christy, do a little bit of research. So not like Molly said, don't sort of be ready to, you know, have an argument, but just get some facts and figures, or even just like read up a little bit on things, so that if anyone does go, oh, but what about soya, like vegans are killing the planet with soya, just so you can go, oh no, actually, you know, like such and such percentage, I can't remember what it is exactly, 70% something like that, you know, the majority of soya was actually used for animal feed. Anyway, and then just kind of change the subject. And I really wish you luck, because I've been there before and I know it's hard. I mean, last year my family were obsessed with this cheese that they'd found, and they just kept going on and on and on and on about it. And I actually started to, I just felt a bit left out. Me and my daughter I thought, oh God, please don't mention the cheese again. But now I'm ordering the Palace Culture cheese, which I always bang on about because it's just so amazing. And I'll just have my own cheese and that'll be fine. It's just all about being prepared, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so just to finish off, I thought instead of another question, we could just share a recipe quickly, because this was a suggestion from Stephen the Vegan, who we heard from last week and chatted about in last week's episode. And he suggested, you know, having a recipe of the week, which is a really good idea. So the recipe that I wanted to share is so easy and everybody loves it, even the non-vegans. And this is a tomato dal with flatbreads from Fern Cotton's Happy Vegan Cookbook. And it's basically 260 grams of red split lentils, 4 garlic cloves, 2 tablespoons of soy sauce, 2 teaspoons of mild curry powder, teaspoon of miso paste, a tin of chopped tomatoes, tin of coconut milk. And you literally put it all into a pan, bring it to the boil, reduce the heat, and that's it. It's cooked. And then you can make your own flatbreads, or obviously serve it with rice. She also suggests putting some like coconut milk yogurt on top. Or my new favorite find is the Oatly, I think it's called Oatgut. It's like Oatly Greek yogurt.
Oh, I don't think I've tried that, you know.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of yogurt, but I really like this one. So a little splodge of that on top. Honestly, it's the best meal, but I do warn you, you won't be able to stop eating it. So you'll just, you'll have your dinner and then all evening you'll be sneaking to the kitchen like to take another spoonful.
Dals are literally just the best thing in the whole world. I don't know if you tried it, but basically my favorite thing to do with a dal is I bake kale. So I put a little bit of olive oil with some fresh salt and pepper. And then it crisps up, and then you put that on top of the dal, and it just, oh my God, it's amazing.
Oh, wow. Because isn't that what they do in Chinese takeaways? They call it crispy seaweed, but it's actually
seaweed. Yeah. And then they put like shrimp paste or shrimp powder or whatever on it. But this, it doesn't taste like seaweed, but it just adds like an extra like crispy, because mm-hmm. dal is like kind of like a soft texture. So yeah, I love it. That's my go-to thing. I always add a bit of kale on top of it.
Lovely. That's a really good idea. Amazing. Well, we hope you enjoyed this week's episode. We're back on Thursday. Now, I was supposed to be chatting to Ella Mager, otherwise known as Sexy Fit Vegan. Unfortunately, due to a time zone mix-up, because she's in America on Eastern Standard Time, okay. I couldn't record in time with her. So I'll be speaking to her next week, and she'll be on next Thursday's show. This Thursday, tune in to hear me chat to Chef Day Radley from the Vegan Chef School, all about everything from nutrition to meal ideas and how to train as a vegan chef. See you on Thursday.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.